Today we're going to continue our series, Breaking Bad. Some of you who maybe were gone last week say, Pastor, I thought you was done with the series a few weeks ago. I was trying, I promise. I was really trying to be done, but how many know when the Holy Spirit begins to lead and speak, we want to be obedient to that. And someone asked, said, why do you believe that the Holy Spirit keeps giving you messages in the series, Breaking Bad? I believe it's simply because you are opening up your life. So many of you are responding this summer saying, Pastor, this series is changing my life. I am applying the principles that you're teaching to my everyday life, and I'm walking in new freedoms. I'm breaking out of bad cycles in my life. And because you are opening up your heart to receive, God is pouring out more. And so thank you for being open to receive. This has been an incredible series. I will tell you, I do a lot of series, obviously, here at Destiny and over the years, but this series has been a sum total of about 20 years of ministry, of working with people who have been stuck in bad cycles in their life and helping people get past that. It seems, have you ever felt like you're stuck in the same place over and over again, repeating the bad things? You get kind of victory over something, or you do good for a while, but you find yourself back struggling with the same addiction or struggling with the same problems, struggling with the same fear, and you're stuck in this place, and you say, Pastor, I don't know how to get out. I've been trying to year after year to get out of this, and so this series has been that. If you attend Destiny, I highly, highly, highly recommend you go back and catch up on some of the messages you missed on our iCast. Go back and catch up on those. They have been life-changing for many, many people. Today, I want to pick up on the thought, breaking the spirit of insecurity. Breaking the spirit of insecurity. This message will actually fit really well with a message I did a few weeks ago on breaking the spirit of comparison. Remember us talking about how we struggle with comparing. And we find this thing, God has called us to break out of the spirit of insecurity. Let's be real today, okay? All of us deal with insecurity, right? We do. We all deal with insecurity. How many today will raise your hand and say, Pastor, I've at times in my life, I've dealt with insecurity in my life. Anybody raise your hand? Thank you. All right, put your hands down. The rest of you, you're too insecure to raise your hand. And so it's this message. This is for all of us today, because at some point in our life, we all have suffered with the spirit of insecurity that tries to creep its way in. Let's go right to our text today. We've used this verse a lot in the series. I believe it fits right in today again. Let's open up with it. Romans 12:2. We're not conformed to this world, but to be what? Let's say it together. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. If you missed the message I did in the series called Breaking the Strongholds of the Mind, you've got to go back and get that, okay? You will never break out of your addiction. You'll never break your bad cycle if you don't realize the war is taking place in my mind. My addiction is not my problem. My bad habit is not my problem. My problem is what I think about that thing, how I look at my addiction, how I look at my problem. That's where the war takes place. But see, what we got to realize is this. As Christians, when we're saved, my soul is redeemed. Hallelujah, right? Praise God. My soul is redeemed by God's grace at salvation. But my mind is still unsaved. So what happens is this. We get saved, and then we walk out and try to live this Christian walk with a mind that still thinks the way it did before it was saved. That's why the Bible says that we are to be transformed. It's a process. It's a process. Your mind isn't automatically, I get saved, and automatically, now, whoo, I got holy thoughts. You know, my mind's not singing the hallelujah chorus as soon as I'm saved. Hallelujah. You know, I'm still going to struggle with the things I have. I still struggle with insecurities in my mind, thoughts in my mind, and it's up to me to be the gatekeeper of that. So let me say that to you again today. That you are called to be the gatekeeper of your mind. Nobody else can do that for you. Satan doesn't have control of your mind. And God doesn't have control of your mind. You are called to be the gatekeeper of your mind. And you have the ability to say, I'm going to dwell. Now, Satan may try to plant seeds of doubt in your mind. He may try to plant bad thoughts in your mind, but you have the ability to say, I'm going to dwell on that and meditate on that, or I'm going to say, no, 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 no. I'm going to begin to dwell and meditate on what the Word of God says about my life. See, I'm the gatekeeper. I choose the things I dwell on. I choose the thoughts I meditate on. And so I am the gatekeeper. And if insecurity comes, I've got to be the gatekeeper of that insecurity in my life. As a disciple of Jesus, I'm learning to control my thoughts and meditations on things that produce good fruit in the life, in my life, that God has for my life. As a disciple of Jesus, I'm learning to control my thoughts. It's what it's about. So what is insecurity? Plain definition of insecurity is this: uncertainty or anxiety about oneself or lack of confidence. Now, I know that relates to nobody in this room, that nobody ever has uncertainty about who you are. Nobody ever has anxiety about yourself, what you're going to happen, or a lack of confidence. I know this is only for two or three people in this room, because we don't know. I deal with it. You deal with it. And that's the first thing that we realize in dealing with insecurities, is that let's take off our mask. Let's quit trying to be Mr. Macho, guys. Okay? Listen, man, I'm talking to you today, right to your heart. Take off your macho mask today and be honest and say, you know what, Pastor, I deal with insecurities. Ladies, we already know this answer, okay? So we're not going to go there. But guys, we have a hard time admitting it, okay? Isn't it amazing that, you know, ladies, you'll find the one thing. You can have 1,000 things right, but you'll find the one thing that you think is wrong and dwell on that all your life. You're beautiful the way God's made you, and you'll find the one thing is not what you think is perfect. And you'll dwell on that and be insecure about that forever. Now, guys, our problem is just the opposite. We got many things wrong. And we look in the mirror and go, nothing's wrong. We still see ourselves the way we did when we were 16 years old. Nothing can defeat us, right? I'm still wearing the same size pants I did back when I was 16. Yeah, but your belly sticks about this far much over than it did. My dad told that to me one time. I'm still wearing the same size I wore in junior. Yeah, but your belly's just much bigger. It didn't go over very well with him, but anyway. We deal with insecurities different in our life, but the main thing is we realize we all are insecure at different times in our life. And when you're insecure, it keeps you trapped in a place that doesn't produce fruit in your life. It keeps you trapped in bad cycles in your life. And God is wanting to grow you. God is wanting to say, man, I've got this better thing I want you to live in, this abundant living that I'm calling you to live in. I'm called you to go from glory to glory, as we talked about many times here, from stage to stage. But we never get to that next level. We're stuck where we're at, because we got bad cycles that got to be broken, and insecurity is one of those things that keeps you stuck there. So we admit it. And the second thing we got to realize is that they become an opportunity. Insecurity is an open door for either God or the devil to operate in our lives, but we choose. Insecurity is becoming either an opportunity for us to say, God, I have got some things in my life that are very weak and I need help with. God, I'm having a hard time with my body image. God, I'm having a hard time with my confidence as a husband. God, I'm having a hard time with my confidence as a woman. God, I'm having a hard time with seeing myself the way you've made me. God, I'm having a hard time with what I'm doing. God, and we have to admit those things. And God says, yeah, that's where I want you. I want you to come to me when you're weak so I can make you strong. But Satan says, no, I want you to come and say, I am never going to be better. I'm never going to improve. I'm never going to break this bad cycle. I'm never going to see God's will done in my life. And so I'll look to false security. If I only change this about me, I'll be secure. And we change it, and it's never good enough. If I only can buy this, I will be secure. And we buy it, and it's not good enough. If I can only date this person, and we date them, and it's not good enough. So Satan wants you to either take it and run with false security. That's our choosing. Or we can say, God, no, I'm choosing to come to you in my insecurity that you can become strong in my life. Because we all live our life one of three ways, okay? We either live our life insecure, we live our life falsely secure, or we live our life secure in who God is. And I tell you today, if this is your first time at Destiny or you've been here 100 times, doesn't make a difference. I will tell you this today, that the only real security you'll ever experience in your life is through a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Oh, there's false securities out there, but they don't last. There's false securities that societies tell us bring security, but they don't last. The only way you will have true security is through a relationship with Jesus Christ that you have said this, I am learning to give all of my insecurities away to Him, and I'm secure in Him no matter what. If you place your security in your 401k or your investments or your things, those things can be gone in a matter of a day. Let's remember 2008, when many of you who lost all your 401k, lost most of your retirement. We can remember 2011 when tornadoes can come through in a matter of minutes, wipe away everything we own and possess. Those things do not bring security. Those things can be gone. They bring false security, and they're nice to have. I ain't going to lie. Some of those things are nice to have. They bring some temporary comfort. But the bottom line is they're not security for me, because those things can be gone just like that. My good job can be gone next year. We're all going to go through seasons of highs and lows. And if you put your security in those seasons, then you're going to be up and then down, up and down. Scripture says that man is weak. He's being tossed around like the wave of the sea. He said, but a strong man learns to say, my sights are fixed upon the Lord. And when the things are good, I'm not going to get too high. When things are bad, I'm not going to get too low. But I'm secure, keeping my eyes secure upon the Lord. God, when I'm having seasons of good, thank you that you're blessing me. Let me be a blessing to others. But God, if you choose to take it all away next year and I have to walk through a season of lack, that's okay, because you're still the same God and you're in control of my life. God, thank you. I have a great job now and things are going good. But if I go through a season of being laid off and looking for a new job, thank you, God, no matter what, you're still in control of my life. See, I let go of the insecurity. That's false security when I put my security in my things. Stop comparing yourself. We talked about this a few weeks ago. It's the breaking the comparison spirit. I preached that. Remember that we talked about how Satan has, from the very beginning, his tricks are not new. What's the first thing he did? He says, Adam and Eve, you got all this, but the one thing you don't have is this. You want to be like God, don't you? You want the power God has. And they had everything, and they went after the one thing they couldn't have. Why? Because they got caught up in the spirit of comparison. I want to be like God. Well, what they didn't realize, they were already like God. Everything he had was theirs. But Satan got them to believe that they needed more and got them chasing after a false sense of security. And it's the same thing he does to you and I, that he wants you and I chasing after false sense of security. As a pastor, my security is not in how many people come to my church. My security is in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I know what it is to preach to 7 families before. My ego wasn't hurt then. I know what it is to preach to thousands. My ego's not hurt then. I'm still the same guy. My security is not in how many people I'm preaching to every week. My security is in my relationship with God. We've got to, in all of ourselves, look at ourselves. Continue to say, what am I putting my security in? Quit comparing yourself. Quit comparing yourself to everybody else's looks. Quit comparing yourself to everybody else's money. Quit comparing yourself to everybody else's cars. You know, it was a few years ago that my wife and I went through this stage where we decided, you know what? We got to quit playing this game, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And we decided we're going to get out of debt, and we're going to pay off our debt. And we decided, you know, no matter what we got to drive, we're going to drive it as long as it's paid off. You ever remember that season in your life? Yeah, we went through that season. I felt like God was really dealing with us to do that. And so we sold the things we had, and we cut our debt, and we decided we were only going to drive what we could have paid off. And, you know, I had a friend who was an auto man, and he had bought this car off of a salvage, and he rebuilt it, and he took his family to California, It was a minivan, and he came back with it. And he goes, "Hey, I don't have my kids full time, so I don't really need this van. I'll sell it to you for what I got into it." And I paid $6,000 cash for this minivan. Now, I will tell you this, in case you don't know this. Pastor Gene does not look cool in a minivan. This was very much hard on my ego. I know many of you have minivans. There's nothing wrong with it. But I had to get to this point and say it was all right for me to drive a minivan. Let me just tell you this. You don't get many looks, second looks, when you're driving a minivan. That's right, honey. Thank you, amen. This is my security over to the left in more ways than one. Okay, all right. But you understand what I'm saying? Our ego gets caught up in what we're driving. We pull into some of you pull into the parking lot here at church. You're like, "Oh, man. When you bust in with a car, when are you going to bless me with this car?" And we get defeated before we ever walk in church. I'm driving this car and they're driving that car. No. What do? You drive around in circles until you find somebody who's got a worse car than you and park there. Then get out and say, "Loser," or keep on going in the church. That's all you got to do. Just playing. No, that's what we feel when we walk in. We're like, "God." You know, we made that stand. I was driving a Honda that was like 12 years old, and we were driving a car, an older van that was paid off. You know, it wasn't about a year after that someone rear-ended us right out here in front of the stoplight, right here. We were not hurt badly, but we were totaled our car, sandwiched in between two cars. Someone ran the red light out here. And you realize the insurance company gave me $16,000 for the car I only paid $6,000 for. And I was able to go pay cash for a cooler car than I had. I believe God worked it out for my good. Why? Because he was testing me to see, is my security in those things? I spent a year driving, sharing a car with my daughter. She loved it because Dad put gas in her car. But Dad was driving a car that was built back in 1997. Wasn't good for his ego. But it was okay. I was past that. My security wasn't in that. Now, I thank the Lord for the finance team now. They finally said, "Pastor, we can't have you driving that. We got to get you something a little nicer. You can represent the church. They're taking good care of me. I appreciate you guys and the church. They take good care of me. And they're making sure I'm driving a good car." But you know what? It's all right. My security is not in my car. My security is in Jesus Christ. My security is not in the things I own. My security is in Jesus. My security is not in popularity. My security is in Jesus. It changes the way you live. It changes the way you compare yourself to other people. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. If you can have them, great. But don't let them be your security. And if you don't have them, don't sit around thinking, "I'm not as good as everybody else. And my security is all my, I'm so insecure because I don't have this." No, fight that spirit off. The world teaches us to have money and our security in money, our appearance, right? Our appearance. Have security in how you look. Let me tell you this, that all of us should know this by now. Gravity is at work. And eventually, gravity is going to win. No matter how hard you try, gravity is going to win. Not me. Yeah, it's going to happen to you, lady, too. It's going to happen. And gravity, so if you put all your security in your looks, the looks are going to fade. Someday, those looks will fade. Gravity is going to suck all the skin off your body until it goes into the grave. Exciting words to hear. I know, to look forward to as you grow older. But you might be able to do some things to slow it down a little bit, but eventually you're going to lose the battle. My security can't be in my looks. My security's got to be in who Jesus says I am. My security is not my popularity, young people. Let me tell you this. As you get ready to go back to school, you're thinking, "How popular am I going to be this year? Who's going to like me? Who's not? That's my security." No. Let me just tell you something right now. In 3 or 4 years, when you graduate, 90% of those people you'll never talk to again. They won't matter. I'm telling you right now, your security is going to be in your relationship with Jesus Christ and who he's calling you to be. Don't get so wrapped up into that. My popularity. it puts a trap. See, my true security comes from Jesus. Security, let's talk about this in Psalms 91. This is the security chapter, and I encourage you to go this week and read this more, okay? I'm not going to be able to read the whole thing today, but this whole chapter of Psalms 91 really deals with security issues in our life. Let's read verses 1 through 2 of Psalms 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is what? My refuge. My place I go to. Refuge, what? What is a refuge? A place I go to when I'm in trouble. And my fortress, my protection, my God in whom I trust. He says, I will say of the Lord. Notice that statement of faith. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my security and my protection. He's the one I trust. All right. Now, are you ready for the statement of the day? Let's be real honest and go with this next statement after looking at this. Where you turn to when you feel insecure, that's where your security is. The thing you turn to when you feel insecure, that's where your security is. If you're going through times of insecurity and you turn to an unhealthy relationship, that's what you're putting your security in. If you turn to alcohol, that's what you're putting your security in. If you turn to an addiction or a drug, that's where your security is at. If you turn to a bad habit, when you're feeling insecure, that's where you're putting your security at. This is why I've got to learn what it means to say, I am secure in the Lord. You are my fortress. You are my protector. In you, you are my refuge, my strong tower. He says, I will say. Get that in your heart today. The psalmist says, I will say. You can't depend upon Pastor Gene to tell you and say it for you. You got to open your mouth in the middle of your insecurity and say, I will say, great is the Lord in my life. I feel tempted to go here and get my security from this bad thing. But no, I don't need that. God, I say you are greater than any addiction in my life. You are greater than any false security in my life. My security comes from you. And when this happens, what happens? Scripture makes it very clear. Let's pick it up in verse 3 now, the next verse. For he will rescue you from every trap, protect you from the deadly diseases. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are yours. It's your armor and your protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Look what it says. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will go and order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Look at this last part. You will trample upon the lions and the cobras. You will crush the fierce lions and the serpents under your feet. The Bible says Satan is like a roaring what? Lion, seeking that he may devour us, destroy us, right? It says that Satan also comes into us as a form of a serpent. He came to Adam and Eve. So when we see this, we can reread it and say, you will trample upon the spirit of the lions and cobras. You will defeat Satan when you say, God, you are my refuge. The spirit of the lion, the spirit of the serpent says, go to this for false security. Go to the apple that you're not supposed to eat of for false security. Go to the relationship you're not supposed to have. Go to the addiction that's destroying your life. This is where you're going to get secure at. But when you say, no, if I say, God, you are my fortress. God, you are my strength. I'm weak, but God, you make me strong. It says, I step on the head and I crush that insecure spirit and put my security in false, not in the false, but in what? The one true hope, the one living God. Let me quickly give you, last week we talked about King Saul. I want to pick it back up today, talking a little bit about him. Let me quickly give you six signs according to King Saul's life that show signs of insecurity. Number one, he was unteachable. I talked a few weeks ago about breaking that unteachable spirit. We've got to be teachable. Guys, we struggle with this a lot, okay? More so than ladies, we struggle with this. We think we know all the answers. Someone tries to approach you to correct you or to teach you something, and we're like, I don't need your help. I don't need help. I'll find it myself. I'll figure it out myself. Your wife brings you the directions. I don't need those directions. I think, can we just stop and ask somebody? I don't need to ask somebody. I'll figure it out. Remember me telling the story about the lady trainer trying to train me, and I was like, what's she going to teach me? It's the same thing, okay? We've got to break the unteachable spirit. He was unapproachable. Saul couldn't be taught. When Samuel came to correct him, he rejected that correction. He was jealous. He had a jealous spirit. Remember when David killed Goliath? They were singing David's praises. He heard them singing David's praises, and he allowed jealousy to eat him up. Remember me telling you this a while back. Christians should be the first ones to celebrate when God does something for another Christian. When God blesses another Christian, we should be the first ones to celebrate with them, not get jealous of them. But I've been trying to lose weight for 3 years, and she lost it in 3 weeks. Oh, I can't stand that girl. She must be doing drugs or something, because I don't think there's any way she could lose that. Come on now, I'm talking your language, ladies. No, say, thank God that you lost that weight you wanted to lose so fast. You got any tips for me? It's all right. Make me teachable. Tell them, congratulate them. Oh, they got blessed with a raise. Thank God. Thank God you blessed them with a raise. That unlocks the favor of God to be able to do something in my life. But when I get jealous, I'm blocking the blessing that God's wanting to bring my way. The blame transfer. He wanted to blame everybody else. Saul, why are you not following my rules? Saul, why are you not following my direction? The people, they wanted me to do something different. He blamed everybody else for not following God. He was a control freak. Listen, if you're a control freak, you 100% deal with insecurity in your life. You need to realize you can't control everything and everybody. There's only one person that can do that. They need to release that control to him. Don't be a control freak. Saul was a control freak. Number 5, put your trust in the signs of this world and not in God. What happened when things were going bad? He called the sorcerers in. He called the witches in. Said, hey, tell me what's going on. Give me the interpretation of what's happening here during the season. Even though he knew God was already speaking to him, he went there. Listen, I'm telling you this because many of you here have been saved, but no one's ever taught you this because you just grew up this way. But let me tell you this. As a Christian, we do not look to any horoscope. We do not look to the stars. We don't look to any kind of psychic reader to tell us our future. We look to Jesus Christ. We look to what the scripture says about us. I don't say they're in control of my life. No, God, now as a Christian, I'm giving my control to you. Don't open yourself. Saul did this very thing. And Saul also did what? The fear of man. One of the things we saw, insecurity, he had the fear of man and not of God. He was more worried about what people thought of him and pleasing them than he did what God thought of him. It shows insecurity in his life. So how do we overcome? All right, quickly as we close today, I'm going to give you 3 things to help you overcome insecurity. As we do that, I'm going to read this opening text part. This 2 Corinthians 12:7-10 explains it like this. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, Paul's talking, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I plead with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Look what he says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Let's replace that word weakness with insecurity. For my power is made perfect in my insecurities. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness or insecurities, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults, hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For what does it say here? For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's saying this, when I go to God, I become strong. When I can admit it, which is the first thing in getting victory in your insecurity. Number 1, you turn to God. It should be the first thing you do is turn to God first in your life. Turn to him. He should be your fortress. I should never turn to a substance. I should never turn to a person, to a relationship, to a bad habit. the first thing I should do when I'm feeling weak and insecure is turn to God and say, God, you are my fortress. About 11 years ago, I went through a season in my life when I was so stressed out. I was suffering with insecurities in my life and pressures of life. We had we already had 3 children. Found out we were pregnant and just had twins. Someone needs to thank the Lord that Pastor Gene survived, and Pastor Mel survived, having twins of 5 children. We love all of our kids. Great surprise. But as you guys can realize that not only do we have twins now and 5 children at home, 5 young children at home. We had one child who was born with bilateral cleft palate and lip and required several surgeries, and we were going back and forth to Children's Mercy with doctor's visits, clinics, and surgeries, and plastic surgeries, and just so many things. And I was so worn out, and there was no sleep to be got because, I mean, with twins, there's no taking turns. It takes both of you to get up and feed. And so we were getting a lack of sleep was happening, and I was getting very fatigued. I was getting insecure about things and thinking, how am I ever going to afford to take care of 5 kids? And I had one of those days when I just melted down. I remember, I'll never forget, I was driving on the interstate. I was in between the Main Street and Rangeline exits, and about where Mercy sits down there on the highway. I was pulled over to the side of the road because I just started crying uncontrollably for no reason. I couldn't tell you why. I was just crying. I was like, what is this happening? I'm crying. I'm a man. I don't do this. And I'm crying. What is this thing happening here? You know, and I was at a point, and I remember just pulling over. I couldn't even drive because I was so emotionally upset. I pulled over, and I remember stopping the car, and I looked at God and said, God, I need you. That's all I could get out of my mouth. God, I need you. I couldn't tell you that the flood of the Holy Spirit came in that car. I grabbed a pen, I grabbed a paper, and I wrote these words out. Lord, I need you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I want more of you. When I'm weak, you make me strong. In your arms, I do belong. You're my shelter in my time of storm. I wrote in big letters, I find strength in you. It came to me that fast. I wrote it down. I can tell you that I just, in my spirit, I couldn't get those words out of my mind. I was just saying it over again. The Holy Spirit came to me. I felt the strength I hadn't felt in such a long time. My tears dried up, and I began to cry tears of joy. That I could just feel God's presence coming, touching me right there on the side of the highway in my car. And he said, son, everything's going to be okay. My grace is going to walk this season with you. And when you're weak, just lean on me. It's all right to cry. It's all right to admit you don't have it all together. It's all right to admit that you need me. Lean on me because that's exactly where I want you. It changed my relationship with the Father. It changed me. See, I've got to learn to embrace my weaknesses. Go to God first. Number 2, embrace my weaknesses. If I could change the things I need to change in my life, why would I need God? Huh? If I could change everything on my own, why would I need a Savior? Now, there are certain things I'm going to need help with, and He has designed it that way. Because He's designed it, all of us would say, I need a Savior. All of us would say, God, I need you in my life. There's insecurities, there's weaknesses I need. You. It's leaning on Him. And the third thing is we put our faith in God's grace. We put our faith in God's grace. I'm insecure. I'm insecure, but I find out who He is. See, God is changing me. My security used to be in my competition. Had to always finish first. Had to always be best. If I didn't, I was insecure about that. I had to admit that. I had to look at myself recently and say, that's not a good trait. Gene, you're insecure about competition in your life. That's a hard thing for me to admit. But I did that. I was thinking last night as I was driving my son to his first scrimmage in ninth grade, And I was reflecting, having one of those dad moments when I was driving to his first practice in third grade. On his way to his third grade practice, I was like, son, you got to man up. You get out there, don't you quit. You go hard. I was giving him the motivational talk, you know, and be a winner. You can do it. Oh, blah, blah. Get out there and hit somebody and knock them. You know? Don't look at me like I'm the only father to do that. Come on. You know what I told my son last night when we were driving? I said, son, I want you to know no matter what, I'm proud of you. Go out there and have fun. Go out there and have fun. You'll never have a first game in the ninth grade again. Go out there and enjoy it and have fun. So I dropped them off. The Holy Spirit said, I'm changing you, Gene. I'm changing you. I'm teaching you to embrace your weaknesses and admit it. And if you do that, my grace is going to come and be sufficient for you. I put my faith in God's grace. My security is in things. I'm heading for danger, but my security is in the Father. I break the spirit of insecurity in my life. How many are thankful for dirty diapers? Anybody else thankful for dirty diapers? I tell you, when I was going through that season of my life, I was not thankful for dirty diapers. But now I'm thankful for dirty diapers. My kids, not yours, just so you know that. Don't bring me any dirty diapers after church. How many know that when I go to change my baby's diapers, my kids' diapers, before they're potty trained, it didn't make a difference how bad it smelled. I would change those diapers. I wasn't like, oh, you are so immature. You're 1 and a half. When are you going to learn to do this job on the toilet? I got to clean up after you. No, I would clean them up, get those baby wipes out and wipe their little cute booty. We put baby lotion all over them and powder, and when they get done, they smell so good. We kiss them all over. You smell so good. See, some of us think that's the way the Father looks at us, that we're afraid to go say, Dad, I don't smell that good. Dad, my diaper's full. I've really made a mess this time. And we're afraid. You're like, what? No. He says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me. I'll make you smell good. Come to me. I will make you strong. I lay aside my insecurities, and I go to the Father. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning as we close. I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads today. I'm just going to ask you this question straight up. How many say, Pastor, I want God to break a spirit of insecurity in my life. At times, I've struggled with it. How many want to raise your hands? That's me. Yeah. Hey, thanks for being honest, guys. See, that's a start. I'm going to invite those who want to join me in the front and say, Pastor, I want to come to the front today and step out and say, God, I want to step into this promise that's been spoken over my life today. I want to come in agreement with this word that's been spoken over my life today. If you want to join me in the front, you're welcome to do that. If you're a guest today, you're welcome to join us. You don't have to. Don't feel any kind of pressure. We just like to kind of get out of and say, God, we're stepping into this word that's been spoken over our life today. As you're coming to the front and making room for those behind you, we're going to sing this song that simply says, with everything. How many know with everything means with everything? All my insecurities, all my weaknesses. I say, God, I'm learning to praise you in everything I am. Not just the good things, but God, also the weak areas of my life. I'm learning to give you praise. Let's make it personal. I say, God, I'm breaking this insecure spirit. Give me all the praise that's coming.
Come on, sing this song now.
Lift your hands this morning. I want to pray over you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we But I thank you, Lord, that you are casting down insecurities in our life. And Father, as the pastor and the spiritual covering of this church, I pray over every person in this room today who is struggling with insecure spirits. Father, right now, I pray that the spirit of insecurity and every precious woman of God today will be cast down. That God will quit looking and believing the lies that the mirror is saying to us, that society is trying to say to us. That God will begin to walk in the security that says that we are wonderfully, beautifully made in your sight. That we'll quit comparing ourselves and walking those insecurities. Father, I pray for every man in this house today that God, we would stop saying that we don't have anything wrong, and we'll be more tender-hearted to say, God, we need some help, and we need to cry out to you, and we need you to guide our family. We need you to guide our life. And God, we'll cry out to you, and God, to say, you are our strength. You are our shelter. You are our fortress. And Father, I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, you allow insecurity, the spirit of insecurity, to fall off of people's lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you, God, they're falling off right now in the name of Jesus. We will be the gatekeeper of our mind. We will allow our mind to be transformed to who God says we are. We will run to Him. Run to Him. We will run to Him and say, God, I am weak, but you have made me strong. If you believe that prayer, I want you one more time to put your hands together and say, God, I believe that today. Come on. Say, God, I believe that today. How many know that the Spirit of God is doing something in the house, man? God is breaking us through these bad cycles. God is doing something in so many people's lives. I love what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. One more time, join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. God, we thank you that you are setting people free. We thank you, God, you are setting our minds free. We thank you, God, you're transforming us. We thank you, God, that you are setting people free. God, I thank you for the hunger, the passion, the willingness to receive the word today. May it go on our hearts with good ground, produce much fruit. And we say yes and amen and amen. Hey, turn to give someone a big high five or a hug or shake their hand. Say, it was good to be with you today. God bless you. Remember, sign up for the newcomers dinner if you're going.